We are on part two of A Time Not to Search. I think it's kind of still search and not search. We're still working on both, I think.
Kind of, sort of, yes.
Kind of, sort of, yes. So I've told you before three times. Missed 3 weeks of church, not due to illness, not due to a vacation, but for frivolous reasons. Odds are really high I'm either not going to see you again, or I won't see you for a long time till something happens in your life that brings you back. Okay? Now, what I haven't told you is why. So you get the why tonight. And the why is that we need the Holy Spirit to function. We confuse knowledge and conscience. The truth is, there's no such thing as conscience. Conscience is a world term because they cannot define things the way we're supposed to define things as Christians. We define it as the Holy Spirit. Now, right and wrong is simple knowledge. Okay? Knowledge in itself does not cause you to do one thing or another. You just know what you should do and what you shouldn't do. The Holy Spirit, or the world says conscience, but it's not conscience, it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit causes you to care, causes you to want to or not want to do something, much like a conscience. My favorite line in the movie Miami Vice was when the informant Izzy was talking to Crub, Tubbs, and Crockett, the police officers, because they had to go after some ruthless killers. And the informant told Crockett and Tubbs, he said, "You can't kill them." And they killed somebody every week, so they were pretty used to killing people. And they said, "Well, why not?" "Because they're already dead." See, you are dead without the Holy Spirit. You just don't know it. When I was younger and didn't have the Holy Spirit, I knew what was right and what was wrong, only I didn't care if I did wrong. It didn't bother me if I hurt you, long as I got what I wanted. It wasn't until I found the Holy Spirit that I changed. So I think we're talking about some of the Holy Spirit tonight, yes?
Conscience,
okay,
yes.
Okay, you're talking Holy about Spirit. Conscience. Okay, good. So I'm on target here. All right. So what happens with the three times is we still think that God follows us around like a puppy dog. And I try to tell you, he does not. We follow him around. He's not going to follow. He will let you go do whatever it is you're going to go do. He's going to let you go do it.
Yep.
How do I know that? I watch you. The further you get away, the first week you kind of feel something because you still got the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's saying, you know what? You're not supposed to be. You're supposed to be over there.
Yep.
And then the next week goes by. Wasn't I supposed to be somewhere? You still hear the Holy Spirit, but it's fainter. Third week goes by. You're not paying attention to the Holy Spirit anymore. Fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth week, you forgot what church was.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I sometimes feel like the Holy Spirit is like the stepchild of the Trinity. Doesn't get the reverence that God and Jesus does. But the Holy Spirit is integral and so important to your life because it is what guides you. When you go back and you look in the Bible and they're setting up the Last Supper, the Passover meal, and the disciples don't know where to go. Jesus is telling them to go get set up, go get everything going. And they're like, well, you know, we don't know where to go. And Jesus says, everything's prepared for you already. And that's what we have to understand in our life. Everything is prepared for you already. It's already prepared. It's already in place. It's already available to you. Only you have got to find your way there. And you're not going to find your way there if you don't listen to the Holy Spirit. And he says, go outside and there'll be a man standing there and he'll have a jug of water in his hand. Follow him. Water is the representation of the Holy Spirit, only the Holy Spirit hadn't come yet. So they followed the man with the jug of water to the place where they were going to have dinner. You're dead without the Holy Spirit. You'll do things. You'll know right from wrong because that's simple knowledge. You just won't care. If you take advantage of somebody, you just won't care. That's why we have career criminals. Because they're dead. They're already dead. They'll rob you. Go to jail, get out, rob some more. Go to jail, get out, rob some more. Go to jail, get out, rob some more. Go to jail, get... And it never stops. Because they're dead. They just don't know it. They're not paying any attention at all to the Holy Spirit. They're not paying any attention to the promptings. And guess what, guys? Holy Spirit gets fainter and fainter or louder and louder. That's your choice. The more you listen to the Holy Spirit, the more you're obedient, the more you live a righteous and godly life, the more you put this whole thing together, the Holy Spirit becomes your best friend. He's with you every day, every minute of every day, all the time. He'll tell you to turn left, he'll tell you to turn right. He'll tell you to wear this, he'll tell you to wear that. He'll tell you everything. But as you continue ways that you're not supposed to go at, he will get fainter and fainter. Why? You're not listening. I could tell you the odds of somebody who comes into counseling, I can tell you the odds of their listening, whether they're going to listen or not. Why? I've done it 1,000 times. I already know. You're not surprising me. You're not fooling me. Not my first time. And I can tell you, the further you get away from the Holy Spirit, the fainter his voice, his promptings are until you're dead. You begin to die a little bit and die a little bit more. And I know pastors who don't go to church because they're dying. My friend, the pastor, was telling me this week about a pastor who doesn't think he has to go to church. And I told him, I said, it was just a sermon a few weeks ago or months ago that I said a pastor that doesn't go to church is like a fish that can't swim. I mean, if we know anything, we know we're supposed to be in church. That's the first thing we know. But they don't have a Holy Spirit saying, Sunday, you know where you're supposed to be today. Sunday, time to get dressed. Sunday, time to go to church. Time to pray. We're going to bed. Let's pray. Let's wake up. Let's pray. Where do you think you get all that stuff from? Conscience? I think not. You get it from the Holy Spirit. Say thank you when you're having your food. Where do you get that from? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is so active in your life you can't even imagine if you'll let him be. Show me an ungrateful person, I'll show you somebody who's half dead. They're not able to listen to the Holy Spirit anymore. I will tell you the truth. You cannot listen to the Holy Spirit and be ungrateful. Stop. It's an impossibility. It's an impossibility. I got ungrateful people calling themselves Christians. Shut up. You're not. That's the truth. You want truth? You come for truth? That's the truth. The Holy Spirit causes you to act upon what is right and what is wrong. Knowledge causes you to know what's right or wrong. The Holy Spirit causes you to act on what's right or wrong. I'm going to let you start before I get myself in trouble.
What you were saying is actually fruition of the scripture in the Bible where Jesus says, let the dead bury the dead. He wasn't talking about the physical dead. He's talking about the spiritual dead. Let the dead bury the dead. The Holy Spirit is the only one out of the Trinity that is here.
Right.
He's here. People think Jesus is here. That's wrong. The Holy Spirit is the only one here because he said, I go that he may come. So he's the only one here. So we need to pay more attention to him and less attention to us. In the season of stop searching doesn't in no way tell us to stop searching for God. That ought to be your mission for every day. You ought to search for God in everything every day. You ought to get out of bed searching for God. Because I can tell you when you get out of bed, the devil's searching for you. He's laying every trap he can ever find. And we're so crazy that we walk right into him. Headstrong. All the time. I explained to somebody today that, I think it was today, that life is like a landmine. And you got to find where those are before they blow you up. You can't do it without the Holy Spirit. It's what he's here for, to guide us. If you take away, or if you take it that way, and you think about all the misunderstandings that we have in the Trinity, so to speak, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Father God, he's still there. Jesus came, Jesus went, the Holy Spirit is here and guiding us and teaching us and directing us. We need to stay focused on that because Jesus is your Jehovah Jireh. He's your provider. He's Jehovah Nisi. He's the Lord, our banner, our protector. Jehovah Rapha, he's your healer. He's all of these things through the Holy Spirit, not Jesus. He's these things through the Holy Spirit. So in crying out and in learning to pray and in learning to not search anymore, sometimes God wants you to just wait. Like that song says, wait upon the Lord. Wait. You search him, he heard you, he answered, but did you wait? No. Because why? Because we live in a microwave society where it has to be right now or forget it.
Can I tell you that those that are searching all the time for the next thing God wants them to do, and they come to me and they want prayer and they want this and they want that and they want me to tell them what it is that God wants them to do next, and God hasn't given you your next assignment because you haven't done the last one yet. Stop expecting the new assignment when you haven't fulfilled the last assignment. Instead of worrying about what's in the future, go back to the past and say, okay, what is it I haven't done that I was supposed to do? What was I supposed to change in my life that I didn't change? Why haven't I got to the next assignment?
The best part of waiting on the next assignment is they think the assignment is fulfilled when they think it's fulfilled. But it's not, because he didn't say it was done. When he says it's done, you'll know that you know that you know, and it'll be done. I did a fast one time, and I did the fast for 30 days, and I had somebody fast with me. The fast was for 30 days, and all it was for drinks, all we drank was water. Nothing fancy, nothing, just water for 30 days. About the 20-something day, I got up, I got my glass of water, I went in and sat down on the couch, and God said, your fast is done, I've answered you. If you do what he says do, you may not have to walk the long road. Follow what he says and stay in, you know, in his will and his graces. So in this season, we're going to instruct you on how to know if God is telling you when or if you should stop searching for something, not him, okay? You're going to always search for him. Please understand that. No way are we telling you to stop searching for God. You stop searching for God, you might as well get in the basket. You're going somewhere. We need to understand that the conscience is not just a voice in your head calling all the shots. It's either spiritual, it's an encounter with God being the Holy Spirit, or it's demonic, which is an encounter with Satan. You're going to serve someone, and you have God over here talking one thing. I guarantee you, you got Satan over here talking another. Because the Bible is very plain and very specific when it says Satan counterfeits God. He does everything God does.
When we talk about this, and I've heard hundreds of people talk about it, they'll talk about how they got something holy talking to them on this side and Satan over here on the other side. And they're looking for the opposite. But let me tell you something. They're both talking to you from the same side.
Mm-hmm. Saying the same thing.
Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. You're expecting to hear something evil, demonic, and he's not presenting it that way.
Right.
Most things that are evil and demonic are presented to you as angelic. You have to discern the difference. That's why the Bible tells you, test the spirits.
It says, so let's be clear on the subject to discern if God is telling you or to do something, or if it's Satan telling you. Listen to your conscience, the Holy Spirit. One may say, how do we do that when I'm torn in so many different ways? First off, you better know that you know that you know it's God. Because if somebody tells you to do something, or if a voice tells you to do something and you ain't sure, my friend, you better hit your knees. You better be seeking for confirmation. Remember one thing, one golden rule. You'll get three confirmations, I promise you. God works in threes. And they're going to come from the least person. If I was doing something and I got a confirmation from him and I got a confirmation from Donna and I got a confirmation for Pastor Marjorie and I still felt weird about it, I'm still going to seek, is it right? Why? They know me. They know my desires. So when I'm seeking something or I'm praying for something, I'm telling God, give me somebody who don't know me to confirm with what you're saying to me. Then I know that I know that I know.
I fought being a pastor for so hard and for so long that God must have sent hundreds of people to me that did not know me and referred to me as pastor. I could be walking down the street, walking down the aisle of the store, grubby clothes, a mess, no cross on, nothing, and have somebody walk up and say, "Pastor, how you doing?"
Mm-hmm.
"What are you talking about, Pastor?" And they just walk away. God is a God of confirmation. I have seen people do some of the stupidest things on a whim. Move. Quit their job. Move. Only to come back because God never sent them to start with.
They jumped the gun.
Marjorie was going to be absolutely sure we were where God wanted us to be. She wasn't taking no chances. She went to God and she said, "I need to know that I know that I know, because that man will drag me all over the place and I don't want to go." And she knows that I have an adventurous spirit where she does not. And that's when God showed her this church. Why? He's not interested in us making mistakes. He's not interested in you making mistakes. He just assumed you get it right the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So he brought her to the church, flew her in a vision throughout the property, and then before Marjorie ever saw the property, she knew every detail of this building. She knew the rocks on the walls. She knew the foyer. She knew the double doors. She knew the color of the tile. She knew the kitchen. She knew the countertops. She knew the color of the walls. She knew the color of the... She knew the whole thing. She had been here. God took her here in a vision so that when she got here, she knew that this is where we're supposed to be. And then all the walls came down and my team members were coming to me. They're saying, "You know your wife's not going, right? She ain't moving. Don't you worry about my wife. She'll be all right. Because I trust God. If he wants us there, he's going to find the way to get us there." And he did what he had to do. And it is so important that we test the spirits, discern, and make sure we're doing what God wants us to do. It's too easy to talk yourself. Rationalization is the strongest gift the mind has. Can talk yourself into anything at any time. It is so simple. But it might not be what God wants. And the simple fact that Christians refuse to think the devil's talking to them . Who do you think he's talking to? The ones he's trying to affect. The ones he's trying to control. The ones, don't you think Christians are at the top of the list? And I've argued with Christians. They've tried to argue with me that the devil doesn't talk to them. I know for a fact that he does. Not all dreams are of God. Some dreams are demonic. That's just the truth. And it was just recently somebody called me about somebody telling them that the dreams were not demonic because the devil couldn't affect you while you're sleeping. Like, you must not have had some of the nightmares I've had. You know, trust me, the devil's talking, God's talking, you discern the difference. Do it through let God confirm it. Ask for the confirmation. My favorite thing to do is when I have a prophet I know that I'm going to be in front of, and I will ask God to confirm something through the prophet without me asking the prophet what it is.
Mm-hmm.
If I have to ask, I remember one time somebody came up to me and they said, "I need you to interpret a dream." And I said, "Okay." And then I interpreted the dream. It took me about 15 minutes, and I interpreted the dream. And they're just sitting there looking at me. And at the end, I said, "What's wrong?" "I didn't tell you the dream yet." The Holy Spirit did.
Mm-hmm.
And And they said, you have everything right. That was the dream. Yeah. You got your confirmation. That was the way God confirmed it to you. He gave you your answer without you asking the question.
Look at the scripture.
Okay, we got scripture? Good. 1 Corinthians 14:33. Because God is the author of order, not confusion, this is how it is in all gatherings of the saints. The church today is being torn apart by sects or sections that seek power. They want to control the church, and they want to control what the preacher is going to talk about. And you wouldn't think that goes on, but even in the church I came from, I got sent on a mission to preach somewhere, and I was told what to preach. And I got there, and that's not what came out of my mouth. And they went to my bishop to complain that I didn't preach the way they wanted me to preach. And he looked at him and he said, I'm not about to tell a man of God what to say. But I've come out of so many churches, and that's why this is a non-political church, because I think politics destroys a church. I never saw where God lined up the 12 disciples, Jesus lined up the 12 disciples and said, how many want to go to Capernaum? Raise your hand. He said, get in the boat. We're going to Capernaum. This is not a democracy, it's a theocracy. We follow a king. Right? The church follows the one that Jesus appointed, the one that God appointed, the one the Holy Spirit appointed. As long as he follows Jesus, you follow him. That's the way it works. We're not voting on what color the wall is. We're not voting on what color the carpet is. We're not voting on anything. I have an advisory panel of pastors that help me make good decisions, but we don't vote. They know at the end of the day, I'm going to make the call, and that's what we're going to go with. Because why? I've spent years in meetings, years of my life, going to this committee meeting, that committee meeting, this committee meeting, arguing, fighting, disagreeing, watching people walk off when they didn't get their way, watching it just tear a church apart. Somehow, we made the church a government, and the church is not supposed to be a government. It was never supposed to be a government. We're supposed to come here with focusing on one thing, honoring, celebrating, serving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's it. And people will come and say to me, well, so-and-so is doing this. Well, what do you care? That's not what you're here for. You're not here to police the people. You're here to worship God. If you're not coming to worship God, they're going to get on your last nerve. Somebody's going to get on your last nerve. Trust me. If you're here for the wrong reason, if you're not focused. My favorite story. Am I off track or am I still in the same subject?
Oh, you're still okay.
One of my favorite stories is the guy that goes up to the preacher and he says, I just want you to know this is my last Sunday here. I'm leaving. And the preacher says, pastor says, why are you leaving? Because I don't like the way things are going on over here. So-and-so's on their phone. So-and-so's sleeping. And so-and-so's talking through the whole service. So I'm leaving. And the pastor says, can you do me a favor? We've been together a long time. Will you just come one more Sunday? And the guy says, sure, I'll come one more Sunday. So he comes the next Sunday, and the pastor hands him a glass of water that's full of water. And he says, now during the service, What I want you to do is I want you to walk around the sanctuary with that water, but please make sure you don't spill any of it. So he says, okay, and he walks around during the service, and he doesn't spill any of the water. At the end of the service, the pastor comes up to me and says, did you see so-and-so talking? Well, no. Did you see so-and-so sleeping? No. Did you see so-and-so on their phone? No, because you were focused on the water. If you would come back next Sunday, focus on God, you won't see any of that either. See, if somebody's getting on your nerve, maybe it's because you're focusing on the wrong thing and you're not paying attention to God and you're paying attention to somebody else. A lot of truth to that. We come to worship God. That's it. There's no other reason. This is not a country club. It's not a social event. We come for a purpose because we're on our journey of faith. And it's a long journey, and the road gets bumpy from time to time. But we're trying to get closer to God. And God will draw you in if you let Him. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Are we out of time? We're out of time. Let the Holy Spirit guide you, but you're going to have to start listening. No matter how small it is. I heard you, God. I heard you, God. How many people have said, I heard you, God? If you've never said that, don't do that. Don't go there. I heard you, God. I heard you. Acknowledge that you heard Him. Acknowledge it. I heard you, God. I heard you. They'll tell me sometimes that I'm preaching, and I'll stop and look up and say, okay. Because I will have acknowledged something I just heard the Holy Spirit tell me. I heard you, God. I challenge you this week to say, I heard you, God, when the Holy Spirit's talked to you. Father, we're grateful for the word. We're grateful for the message. We're grateful for the church. We're grateful for the Holy Spirit that leads us, guides us, directs us, and keeps us on the straight path. Forgive us, Father, where we go off a path, and help us regain the path that we're supposed to be on, so that we can become more Christ-like each and every day, so that we can be the witness that you've called us to be, the person that you've called us to be, the mother that you've called us to be, or the father that you've called us to be. Lord, that we are in your likeness. In the name of Jesus, amen.